Volkswagen cheated and lied to its customers. The German automaker admitted to cheating on the U.S. emissions test of 500,000 of its diesel vehicles. A big head has already rolled over the scandal, and Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes said this is not even the end of the beginning. Daniel, you were based in Germany for 4 years, so you have some deep perspective here. Explain to us exactly what they did.
Well, what they did was they developed a computer program that controls the anti-pollution emission systems on diesel engines. And they programmed it to sense when it was in a testing environment. So the steering wheel wouldn't move, for example, and other things that would enable the computer to sense that it was in a testing environment. And then when it was, the program would turn on all of the emissions systems so that when they were tested, they passed. But when they were in normal driving conditions, when the steering wheel's moving and other things are moving in the car, the system would turn off. And therefore, people would get a little better fuel economy. They would get a little better torque performance out of the engine, a little more push, that kind of feeling in the lower back you get when you step on the accelerator, which diesels are very good at. They deliver a lot of torque. So that's essentially what they did.
And how did this get blown? I guess because it's been going on for a while.
Well, it's kind of a tortured story, but basically there were some academics down in West Virginia who started doing some research and testing some Volkswagen vehicles and a BMW vehicle to see if they were in compliance, and they started to look at the data, and it didn't look right to them. And eventually this gets back to the EPA and the California Air Resources Board, who are the two most powerful regulators, certainly in the United States. And they started asking questions and started pushing the Germans at Volkswagen and asking them questions. And they kept denying it. And then as recently as, I think, August last month, finally an official from Volkswagen acknowledged that, in fact, they had put in what's called a defeat switch or defeat mechanism that was on these cars. And it affected 482,000 vehicles in the United States. And they later confirmed early this week that it's 11 million vehicles worldwide are equipped with that technology.
I got to wonder. So here we have VW touting the fact that its diesel vehicles are cleaner than the competition. So I'm the CEO of Canty Motors. I'm going to have my engineers get that VW, tear it down, and figure out how to get our vehicles to that level. Because we all know benchmarking happens. And
sure.
You got to wonder, how did this not get discovered by the competition?
Well, it might have been. I mean, I think that's one of the questions that people are going to be asking, particularly in Europe. Now, it's important for listeners to understand something, that diesel engines only account for about 1% of the engines in the American passenger fleet. They're about 50% of the fleet in Europe, and depending on the country and the segment you're in, they can be plus or minus more or less than that. So I think this is a much bigger issue potentially in Europe than it is in the United States, just in terms of penetration into the marketplace. Now, the diesel regulations in Europe are more lax than they are in the United States. This is the toughest market in the world for diesel cars. The environmental lobby is very opposed to it. There have been some instances where diesels have not acquitted themselves well back in the 80s when General Motors had put diesels into their Oldsmobiles, and it was a belching mess.
I remember that.
But that's a generation and a half removed. But nevertheless, diesel has not been very popular in the United States. And the third thing is that diesel fuel in Europe is a lot less expensive, and in many cases, depending on the price of gasoline, is less expensive than gasoline per liter. So that explains part of the penetration. Here, it typically is more than gasoline. Gasoline has to get very expensive for diesel to be less. So it's just a totally different animal. But all that said, I think the American regulators and the American lawyers are going to make this very expensive for Volkswagen, because they're going to charge that people were buying a product that they believed was clean diesel, and in fact they were equipped with this computer program that were switching off, and it was a dirty diesel.
Well, okay, apart from the public humiliation, we've seen CEO Martin Winterkorn stepping down, and we hear more firings will be expected by week's end. What else do you foresee happening at VW?
This is very embarrassing, not only for the company, but for the country. It's important for people to understand that Volkswagen is a cornerstone of industrial Germany, what they call Deutschland AG, which is this kind of mythical conjuring of great German companies with global reach. And I would add, Daimler would be another one, Deutsche Bank would be another one, Siemens would be another one. They're the pillars of German industry. And implicit in that is we do things right, we follow the rules, we expect other people to do that. The German government clearly has been lecturing the people in Southern Europe in the financial mess that they've been dealing with, particularly in Greece, about that. And now this blows up in their face. And so you have an iconic company that is very closely associated with Deutschland AG that has proven that it doesn't follow the rules, and in fact, it is very duplicitous.
And as you say in your columns this week, the lawyers are just tuning up, aren't they?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. You know, one of the things that I remember from my days in Germany when I was covering Daimler Chrysler, one of the things that struck real fear in the heart of German executives was the American litigation, because they knew it was unpredictable, it could be very expensive, and it could be very damaging to the company, to its brands, to its reputation. And so here you have a situation with Volkswagen where they wanted to essentially avoid American regulation. And so now they've got the full weight of regulation coming down on their proverbial neck and the American plaintiff's bar.
We're speaking with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes about the VW emissions scandal. And as you pointed out in your column earlier this week, Daniel, we've seen Toyota and then General Motors and now Volkswagen get hauled to the proverbial woodshed, or will be, to learn a lesson that the cover-up often is worse than the crime.
Well, I think that's right. And in each of these cases, that's what has happened. I think the problem for Volkswagen is twofold. One is it's third. It's not first. So you could argue, have they learned the lessons of these other companies? And I think the answer is probably not, although them finally coming clean in the last month may have been somewhat influenced by what they saw General Motors doing, thinking that if we come clean, maybe it won't be so bad or as bad as it otherwise would be. So, and the second thing, I think, is that this walks right into the very divisive area of environmental politics. This is about clean air, it's about regulation, and we kind of live in an environment in this country right now where people are very sensitive about that kind of thing. I've already had people saying to me, well, look, 124 people were certified as having died in the General Motors situation, and none have died here. Yet we're talking about fines that are going to be potentially much, much higher than what General Motors ultimately agreed to pay. I think we don't know what those numbers are going to be like, and we shouldn't prejudge them. But there's no question but what this is also trips the wire of environmental politics.
And I'm wondering, and you touched on this in your column, is this something that is driving perhaps Capitol Hill towards a move to criminalize corporate misbehavior?
I think it's possible. You know, one of the things we heard when the General Motors settlement was announced last week was the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York said, look, I just want people to understand here that there are no laws on the books that allow us to charge a corporation with a crime. We can charge individuals with crimes, and that, in fact, may still happen in the General Motors case because people apparently are still under investigation. But there are no laws on the books. I think if you get more and more of these kinds of cases, I wonder if somebody, I'm not saying it's going to become law, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see somebody drop some bills that try to somehow create some kind of regime where they can actually go after a corporation and charge it with some kind of crime. Whether or not that gets any legs or not, I think, remains to be seen.
We've seen Toyota. We've seen General Motors. Now we've got VW. What does this all tell us about the global auto industry?
Well, there's a long history in the auto industry of trying to skirt or game regulations for reasons generally of cost and or performance that can please the customer. And I suspect that you're not going to see, this isn't going to be the end to those kind of practices. That said, I do think that companies have already, in the General Motors case is probably the best example, have already kind of changed their internal regulatory systems and safety systems to say, look, we cannot have these kinds of people or these situations where people are freelancing and trying to fix something on their own because they think that's what's good for the company. And we certainly can't do it if it goes all the way up to the top of the house. Because the costs are too great. Now, there are people who would argue that, you know what, sometimes that's the cost of doing business. You figure it's going to cost me X hundreds of millions of dollars if we get caught, but if we don't get caught, we're going to make a heck of a lot more money. Well, yes and no, and I'm sure there are people that run companies that way, but I think in large part they want to avoid those kind of problems. because in the world we live in, where it's a 24/7 news cycle, social media, I think the damage can be much more severe, much faster than it used to be.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.